Thank Blaine for his prayer. Growth is a command that we have from God, as Thomas read in the scripture, that we will grow in grace and knowledge. So it's a command that we have from God. The scriptures are filled with several verses showing the positive and negative of growth, of what comes about by growth and what comes about if growth is not there. Vine, in his definition of growth or to grow, it simply means to increase of the growth of that which lives, like naturally or spiritually. And so it's that aspect there, to make increase. As Paul used in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6 when he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. In other words, something took place that caused the increase. Increase is used in a description of the effect of God's work in nature. To grow or become greater of the plants and fruits, as used in Matthew 6 and verse 28. When Christ there says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. So they gain increase, and that's the definition of growth. Also, in Luke 13 and verse 32, Christ there says, the mustard seed which is sown is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree. The mustard seed that is grown is greater and becomes a tree. So it's something that increases. A mustard seed increases and it becomes stronger as a tree. It's used of the physical body. When it said of John the Baptist in Luke 1 and verse 80, the child grew and became strong. So he increased in something. That's the definition of growth, of spiritual growth, that you increase. You don't stay in one state. And both of these that we looked at, growth and strength, go hand in hand. You cannot separate one from the other. They go hand in hand. Paul used it spiritually in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 15, when he tells the Corinthians there that as your faith is increased. If you go back and look at the context of this, Paul in this context is dealing with the Corinth growth. For he states, following this statement, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our spirit to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. In other words, he's saying, because of your growth, we can go on to greater things ourselves. Instead of sitting there and again doing those things that are still meeting place, he said that your faith may increase that we can do something else. So he's encouraging the Corinthians to growth, that the apostles could go on to other spheres or other region and could move on to other work. And that's generally what we need to strive for today. Growth. That certain things do not have to be gone over and over, but other fields of the gospel can be explored and other things taught. Ephesians 6 verse 4, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul there says, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Peter states in 2 Peter 1 verse 5, we are to add things to our faith, one being knowledge. And in this context of what Peter writes here in 2 Peter chapter 1, he lists several things. The second one being in that line is knowledge. For this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And he gives the positives of these attributes that are listed here. He says, verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither bear nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the negative side of that, if those things are not there, you're going to be ignorant of the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 9 is a negative. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even blind. And as for God, that he has cleansed from his old sins. So you have a positive and the negative. And I submit to you, if a person does not have to grow, then he can do without all these attributes. They go hand in hand. You cannot have one and not have them all. You cannot have virtue and not have knowledge. You cannot have self-control and not have knowledge. So you have to have them all. And we need to understand the importance of growth in that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, Paul there states that the growth of the church is a self-producing institution that God designed. It's a self-producing growth institution that God designed. Notice the phrases, till we all come together in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. He's dealing with the church. It's a self-edifying institution. Unity is a result of growth. There can be no unity without growth. Not caring about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man. This is exactly what will happen when growth is not part of the church. Speak the truth in love, that you may grow up in all things. Not some, but all. Christ desires, God's desire, that we become a mature person. And Paul states that in these verses. When he talks about speak the truth in love, that you may grow up in all things, not some, but all things concerning Christ, that we learn all we can concerning Christ. When he says the whole body joined together in an effective working manner, each supplying their part causes growth. Again, it says that we each grow and become mature teachers that we'll look at. Is what we are to strive to be, that we teach those who are added to the church. It's a continual cycle over and over and over that we are to do. The church is a self-edifying institution. It needs no outside organization or any help whatsoever in fulfilling this command that God has given the church to do. With each doing their part, that will produce a perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 13. Self-edifying. Paul in these verses shows why it is of great importance to grow and how growth is produced. Growth equipped those in the church for the work of the ministry. That's what we are to strive for. And the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 12, Paul shows the danger that comes about. In verse 14, when growth does not take place, he says, like children that are tossed to and fro, you're going to be carried about by every wind of doctrine. And the danger of that is then the church will cease to exist. If growth is not there, the church will eventually, here in London, be done away with. And we need to understand that. And it's of importance that we grow. We help one another grow. That I strive to be the teacher that I should be, that you strive to be the teacher that you should be. So that when those who are baptized here can be taught, not only things that need to be taught, but that which would produce growth in them, that they become teachers. And that's what we strive for. It talks about not cared about by every wind of doctrine, the trickery of man, and cunning practice of deceitful plotting. So Paul offers this encouragement for growth. Peter offers this encouragement for growth in the book of Peter. But also the writer of Hebrews offers this encouragement. And when he says, the writer says in Hebrews 5 and verse 12, though by this time you ought to be teachers. This is what we're striving for, that we can teach God's Word. That should be our goal in life. He says you should be teachers or instructors. But here he says you have need that someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. Folks, you'll never become a teacher or instructor of the gospel if all you do is stay in one spot. That's what the writers condemn them over. That they should have this time been move on and been able to teach. But they were not. Enough time had elapsed that they should be able to teach others. And the writer refers what they should be teaching at this point in their Christian life. And we will look at the context of Hebrews chapter 5. And the writer says, this is where you have ought to be, but here's where you're at. And so in our life, you're here. If you've been here a number of years, where are you at in your life and your service to Christ? Is it where you begin? Or have you made advancements? That's what we need to be asking ourselves. So enough times the writer of Hebrew is dealing with it, they should have been able to teach and what they should have been teaching. In Acts 13, verse 1, now in the church at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. So even the early church had teachers, not only prophets, teachers, those who instruct that growth would be produced. And God's desire that all would be instructors in His kingdom to teach. It's simply a cycle, a continuous cycle over and over, that the church will always be strong and not carried about by every wind of doctrine. But turn to Hebrews chapter 5. The context of this chapter starts in verse 1, when the writer says, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed of men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer gifts and sacrifice for sin. He could have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifice for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was." And then he starts verse 5 and says, "So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest. And it was said of him, he who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' And also says in another place, 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.'" When you look at verse 11, the writer there says, "Of whom we have much to say." The discussion is we have much to say concerning the priesthood of Christ. But he says, "It's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing." So he says, here's what you ought to be understanding, is the priesthood of Christ, but you become dull of hearing, and we cannot teach you concerning the priesthood of Christ, but this should have been your level by now. And that's what he is dealing with in this. He said, "Of whom we had much to say concerning the priesthood." When you look at yourself today, the priesthood, how much of what is written in Hebrews do you understand? Of the old law and all the sacrifices, how much of that do you understand concerning the priesthood of Christ? And it should tell us our level. If I've been a Christian for 20 years, do I understand that level? I don't. And that's what the writer was condemning him over. He says, "But this time, you should have known this. We have much to say, it's hard to explain, but since you've become dull of hearing." And so that's what he deals with as he starts chapter 6 also. Dull of hearing simply means this verse, sluggish. They've become sluggish in hearing. Verse 12. They were being taught over and over and over the same thing, the first principles. Verse 11, we have much to say concerning the priesthood of Christ. Opportunity was there. They just had not simply grown as they should have. In verse 6, he lists the dangers because of the state at that time they were in. And he shows the danger of that. He starts chapter 6, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. That's what Paul deals with in Hebrews, or in Ephesians chapter 4, that you go on to maturity. And that's what Peter deals with. Add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge, that you go on, you increase. You increase, you become stronger. The opposite of that, if you don't increase, you become weaker. And so those two go hand in hand. So chapter 6 shows the danger of that. And the same application applies today. Again, he encouraged them to leave the elementary principles, go on to perfection. He exhorts them to do so because of the danger that lies ahead. But he says to leave. Leave simply means to go forward, to advance, or to grow. You leave, you grow what you're in. Advance again from the elementary principles of God to complete this maturity. We understand this when we look at young children when they start school. First thing they're normally taught is the ABCs. Once these are mastered, they advance to other facts not yet learned. But those ABCs will always be with them throughout their life. But they do not stay and dwell on those ABCs all their life. They advance from that, but that's the foundation of everything. The elementary principles is the foundation of which our faith is on. It's told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, or 15, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's our foundation of which our faith is based upon. But we are to leave that, even though it's always a part of our life, and to go on. Again, their school life is not a continual going over the ABCs every day. Notice the writer says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. And we understand this, if a builder is to bring a building to completeness, the builder must get off the foundation. He cannot continually lay the foundation day in and day out, or else that building will never get built. And that's Paul's point in Ephesians chapter 4. When we first learn in school our ABCs, they stay with us throughout our lives, but we move on from them. We have mastered the elementary principles. And so the writer of Hebrews gives a reason why in verses 4 through 6 that we are to leave those elementary principles. When he says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gifts and become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. They were good at one time. They went bad. What caused that? They didn't grow as they should. In this verses 7 and 8, the writer makes a comparison here that if we don't grow as we should, what will happen? When he says, for the earth, which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessings from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. The ground receives, it drinks in, the blessing of rain that God sends. It makes moisture, which brings forth or produces herbs or food, useful by those to whom it is cultivated or dressed. And with that, they receive that blessing from God. There was something that those who are dressed and cultivated must do in order to receive blessings from God. And God approves of this land and shows his delight with it by continued rain so that the land might continue to produce. When we grow, God blesses us. As we continue to grow, God continues to bless us in that growth. But in verse 8, if left uncultivated by those in charge, will not produce that which it was designed to do. And looking at this, the land is the children of God. They are the recipients of the rain that produces growth and crops. It is expected that the land, Christians, will use this blessing given to them to produce fruit. If one does, God shows his favor and additional help to enable them for further advancement. On the other hand, if one receives rain and nothing worthwhile comes from him, then God shows his displeasure. The point being to convince the Hebrews of the necessity of leaving the elementary principles. If you don't, God's going to take away from you that which you should have had. And that's what it says, if they fall away, it's impossible to renew them, because they didn't make use of the talents that God gave them. We need to keep these things in mind. As the writer says in Hebrews 10, verse 27, a certain fearful expectation of judgment. We need to help one another. We're the local church here at Mill Street. Each of these are to be teachers. If you're not, you need to be taught that you can be teachers. As the church grows here, it's a continual cycle that Paul showed in Ephesians chapter 4. We're a self-edifying institution. That's God's design. Not to remain on our ABCs for all our life, because that blessing will be removed. That's the warning of Hebrews chapter 5 and 6 on that. But God has also showed how we can become a member of his kingdom. Peter preached on that and convinced those on Pentecost that they had put the Christ to death, the very Son of God, of whom the Old Testament Scriptures foretold about. Being convinced of that, they asked the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter told them what they needed to do. The basic ABCs. Repent and be baptized. For the remission of your sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They had to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That He is King of kings and Lord of lords. That's something that is basic. But we are not to stay upon that the rest of our lives. We've got a book here contained that God has given us concerning Him that we must read and enjoy and grow in. As He told those, the writer told those of Hebrews, that you may know about the priesthood of Christ. That's where we should be. If you're subject to the gospel call, we invite you to come and stand and sing.